you some examples of how we can grow in our faith. How many of y'all want to grow in your faith? How many of you are sitting beside somebody that really needs to grow in their faith? Come on, I see those hands. Come on. Yeah, come on. So here we go. Everyday faith. Here, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter all about faith. So if you want to look at people's lives and about faith, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Mark that there. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. I used to think that was pretty funny when it said people in days of old, and then I got old. Okay, but what I'm trying to say here is this. If we want to earn a good reputation, it needs to be because of our faith. In the whole rest of the chapter, which I'm not going to read for you right now, but the rest of the chapter is all about people of faith. And they had a good reputation because they had faith, not a good personality. Now, see, we're going to catch this. See, if we want to grow in faith, it doesn't have anything to do with your personality. Most of us in this room, we're serving God out of our personality rather than our faith. I want you to catch this. So what is faith? Faith is a conviction. It's a confidence. It's a trust. I've been persuaded. When you're in faith, you're standing under the title deed. The title deed. You stand under the title deed. I have a right to be here because I have the title deed. If you were to come to our home, and we're there, and we'd say, wait a minute, why can we live there? Because we have the title deed. Well, right now, us, and we share it with the bank, but we have the title deed. Okay, and the bank's letting us use it, okay? Are you with me? But we have the title deed. So if somebody says, why are you here? We have the title. I can be here. And so when you have faith, you can go places and do things because you have the title deed. God says you can do it. So I have a conviction, I have the confidence, I have the title deed. I've been persuaded that what is this faith here? I'm standing under here. See, just as my eyes see the physical evidence, faith sees the spiritual evidence. See, I can see with my eyes. This gives me physical, like I have evidence right now. You all look pretty happy. But my faith says you're receiving the word of God right now. Amen. You see the difference? See, I see here, but faith says I'm seeing something in the Spirit of God. I'm seeing something there, which is so much bigger here. It's the evidence of things we can't see or we can't touch or you can't see it, but you know it's there. You see, I could say the Bible is the most impactful book of all time. It has done more in society and for culture and creation than any other book in all time. And I can prove that. How many hospitals were started because of Christianity, and how many schools were started because of Christianity, because of the goodwill that it produces, and the Bible has an effect. But faith is what says it's the word of God to me. See, it's not found in a laboratory, or it's not found in a testing. It's found in faith says, this is the word of God. Faith is what illuminates that. Faith is what brings that point out here. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not just reason. See, let me put it this way. The Bible is a very reasonable book. Most people are going to tell you that aren't Christians, that's totally unreasonable, and it's not true. The Bible is filled with reason. But faith doesn't contradict reason. It goes beyond reason. You see, you take your reason, which is the Word of God, the most accurately recorded book in all of time, okay? And then you put faith to that, so it goes with that reason. Now we add to the beyond reason. That's where faith shows up here. It's that conviction. It's that's what it is here. We rely on it. We cling to it. We glean from it. We grow from it. But it needs the word of God. Our faith has to have a substance, and the substance is God. See, faith is in God, not in faith. Many people get sideways because they believe that they're supposed to have faith in their faith. We're not supposed to have faith in our faith. We're to have faith in God, which is based on the Word of God. The Word of God settles it to me. When the Word of God is clear, we believe it, we accept it, that settles it. Okay, and it goes contrary to my natural feelings. Feelings and faith don't always line up. Am I the only one here? Right? I don't feel like I feel like worshiping today. Well, it doesn't matter how I feel. Faith is based on God, not on me. See, if worship was based on me, then I would sing my songs. Right? And I would get a big throne up here, and I would sit in it and say, come sing my songs. But it's not based on me. It's not based on my feelings. It's not based on who I am. It's based on who he is. So therefore, I even extend my hands in faith. When I worship by faith. Well, how do you know it's doing anything? It's about God. I worship in faith. My eyes don't see God, but I experience God. See, most of us in this room, we have more faith in airline pilots than we do God. How many of you have ever flown in a plane before? How many of you quizzed the pilot before you got on the plane? Maybe one, yeah. I mean, you get too close to that door, you ain't going in that door. Come on, somebody, yeah? Most of us get on a plane, we don't know who the pilot is. We don't even know if they're having a good day. And we know somebody's behind that door, but we just go sit down, we buckle up, and we smile. I'm like, come on. But then the same people, it's like, God can use you in the mission field. And it's like, uh-uh. You have more faith than a pilot. And a lot of people in this room, you go to restaurants, you have more faith in 16-year-olds in the kitchen cleaning the food, cleaning your fork more than you do God. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to help set you free today. Come on. See, we have faith in all these things, but then when it comes to God, it's like, I don't know if God can do that. I don't know if God can change me. I don't know if God can do that with me. I don't know if God can really free me from my past, but I can get on a plane and I can eat off a fork and I have no idea who cleaned it. What I'm trying to say is everyday faith is every day. And it works in every day. But you still need a God to put your faith in. We need the Word of God to put our faith in. Are you with me here? There's a quote, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward for this faith is to see what you believe. Say that 10 times. No, see, there's a reward of faith. And we get that reward when we see God. So here, Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible. Everybody say the word impossible. Impossible. To please God without faith. Oh my goodness. Notice it didn't say it's difficult. It didn't say you're going to have a hard time. It says it's impossible. No, it's impossible to please God without faith here. Anyone who wants to come to God, that's the hymn, must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. This is it right here. This is kind of how it works here. You got to believe God. You got to believe that he is. And then he rewards those who seek him. See, he's a rewarder of those who seek him. That's where faith shows up. That's where we get faith. Are you with me here? It's impossible. It's crazy. You can't do that here. Two important truths. You need a belief in God, and God rewards those who diligently seek him. You got to have these two things. You got to believe in God. So what are you believing in today? No, what are you believing for today? Who is God to you today? That's going to determine. You got to believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him, those who look for him, those who go after him. Okay? Listen, that's the kind of faith that he's looking for. See, I just want to go back, and I'm still on this quest where, see, faith is all about, like, we love Jesus, and we just love what he's doing, and we're just going to get involved with him. I love him because he loves me, and I love him, so whatever he asks, let's do it. Let's believe God. I would rather have big faith and fall short than have no faith and succeed every day of the week. What are we believing for? What are we really, really believing for here? I love him. He has my future. He covers my past. He has my today, and he has my future. That's faith. But most of us in this room, we have this problem with control. We have a control problem. Do you know the one time that it's recorded in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Luke in 17, where the disciples said, man, we need more faith. Do you know the one time that they said they needed more faith? It was when Jesus taught on forgiving one another. Now think about this. Jesus talked about forgive one another. 70 times 7, you got to keep forgiving, and you got to forgive, and you got to forgive. And they're like, oh man. It wasn't when he did miracles. Increase my faith. It was forgive one another. Oh, man. And when you hold on to a grudge, you're saying, I'm in control. God's not in control. When you hold on to unforgiveness, you're saying, I'm in control. I'm going to take charge of my destiny because God doesn't have this. And so faith is releasing all that stuff and saying, God can be trusted. How many of y'all know God can be trusted? Come on, it's a control thing here, and I have a future, and I love him, and that's what I want to do here. Okay, now most of us have bought into a lie when it comes to Christianity, that if you had faith, your life will be perfect, and you'll have no problems. No, really, most of us say, well, when you're a Christian, you shouldn't have any problem. You shouldn't have to forgive anybody because nobody ever offends anybody. Right? I'll never have a problem. I'm going to be physically fit. I'm going to pray a prayer and lose 10 pounds. Right? Because if you have faith, come on. And we bought into this lie. It's a lie. That if you only had more faith. So let me show you what Jesus said about faith in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 7, red letters. Here's Jesus speaking. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and does them, didn't say acknowledge them, does them, whoever hear and do, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came, the flood, and the winds. They all came and they beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. How many of y'all would like to be considered wise? How many of y'all like a good reputation? There it is right there. You hear and you do it. And what do you say? Flood, wind, rain, it's going to come. Those are Jesus' words. Okay, now let's go on. Let's read the next couple verses here. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Everybody gets rain, flood, wind. And most of us, we spend, if we're not dealing with control, we deal with comparison. Well, how come that person's doing okay? How come that person doesn't have to go through this? I mean, I'm going to church, and I'm giving of my life and myself, and I'm giving of my time and my talent. I'm giving money, and I'm doing everything God wants. And then I got this sickness to deal with, or I got this issue to deal with at work, and I'm laid off. Come on. Jesus said, listen, faith is not so you don't have any problems. Faith is because you do have problems. See, you gotta flip that script in your head. Well, how come so-and-so? How come them? I want control. We just all this comparison game, and it's killing us. And rather, it's just like, have faith in God. The reason we need faith is because we have rain, flood, and wind. See, that's everyday faith. What are you going to do on Wednesday when the boss says, you got to work overtime, and I know you got tickets to the Penguins game, but you got to work? I don't think you understand, man. Oh, I have a cross to bear. No, come on. What are you going to do when there's a horrible diagnosis that comes your way? God, where are you now? And usually we're like, God, where are you now? And we run the other way rather than running to God and saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, but it's really good right now. I have problems, so therefore I need faith. We have every day, so therefore we need faith. I need who God is, not who I want him to be. See, I need God to be who he really is here. We can't buy into that thing here. See, Natalie and I, we've come to realize that over the years, every time, every single time I or Natalie has gone on a missions trip, we know the week before things are going to break in the house, cars are going to break down, everything goes crazy. We just know that now. So now when we're challenged in certain things and challenged in certain ways in our life, it's like God must be up to something really good. And right now God's up to something really good. Are you with me? Because when you're challenged in faith, I know God's up to something. Oh, see, it's a flip. Oh, he wants me to see him in a different light. So every time you're getting challenged, it's an invitation to a deeper faith. How many of you have ever prayed for more patience? How many about a weekend you said, that's the stupidest prayer I've ever prayed? Come on. How many of you ever prayed for more faith? And you realize about a weekend, God gives you plenty of opportunities. God, I really want to know you. Okay. Here's some wind. Here's a flood. Here's some rain. Let us know him there. See, everybody's happy on payday. It's what you're doing the 3 or 4 days that lead up to payday that matter. Can you be joyful and content there? Can you see God as a God that pulls through, and God is a God that, like, I can trust even before you see that deposit drop in your account? Right? See, it takes faith. It's that trust in him. It's standing under. And so when you're challenged, embrace it. Because that's God inviting you. Read Hebrews 11. Everybody there had a serious challenge. A serious challenge in their life. Okay? But that's how we know him. That's how we see him. That's how we experience him. I'm going to give you this quote by Gerald Brooks. Hopefully it'll help me here. People who last as followers. This means over time. This means over the long haul. Faith is when we can trust God. Faithfulness is when God can trust us. And when I stay faithful, I'm saying, God, you can trust me. Now, many men in the room, maybe I've had this conversation with you, they come to me and they'll say, man, life is really hard right now. Bills are mounting. Things aren't good at home. You name it. Your issue. My boss doesn't appreciate me. My wife's not appreciating me. My kids are this. My car broke down. I'm going to tell you the same thing every time. God must really trust you. No, God must really trust you, because he's seeing your faithfulness as something he can work with. And when I just stay faithful, even in the midst of it all, God says, now I have something to work with. Big flip of the script, huh? It's seeing him through all these things. It's seeing that. Wow. Okay, faith. Let me try to give you my simplest way to explain faith to you. Faith is HBO. I didn't say go get a subscription to HBO. I said, but faith, HBO. It's hearing, believing, obeying. When we hear his words, Matthew 7, that's a revelation. And then inside, you say, I believe that. That's when you get inspiration. I believe that. But then obedience is the perspiration. All three of those make up faith. And every one of us in this room are going to go through a challenge and a crisis of faith. Everybody in the Bible went through it. And if you want a good reputation, you're going to go through it too. Welcome to Bridge City Church. No, but see, we embrace it because it's based on God, not me. That's what it is here. It's hearing. It's believing. So hearing, let's look at this. My sheep hear my voice. We hear God. We hear his voice, and faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God, so we need the word of God. How do you build your everyday faith? You need the word of God. You read it. Some days I read the word of God by faith, that it's God's word, and it's getting in me, and he's going to do something with it. Well, I read the Bible, and I just don't really get much out of it. Well, how about next time? Keep reading until you get something out of it. Just a thought. No, I'm serious. Keep reading then. Because there's a lot in there. And so I hear, and I believe. See, in Christianity, even in this setting right here, we've fallen into sometimes this polite Christianity where we smile and we listen, but we really don't hear. Is anybody married? I actually don't even have to give you an illustration right now. Does anybody have a friend that every time you're talking to them, they're like, okay. Oh, yeah. Right? There's words going on, but there's no exchange. No, see, when you hear, you're hearing the word of God right now. Every time there's preaching, the word of God's going out. Every time. When the word of God's read, the word of God goes out. Am I right or wrong? And then you have to decide if you're going to grab onto it or not. Or just, that was nice. When people come to me after church, and they'll say, and maybe it'll happen today, maybe it won't. And they'll say, Pastor, that was a good word. And I'll say, well, what was good? Well, it was just kind of all good. No, what was good? No, I want to know what was good. No, I'm serious. Like, what was good? Like, what did you grab a hold of? How did it change you? How did it transform you? What did you hear? See, when you grab a hold of it, then you put belief into it. So the next one is this: how do you believe? It's believing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You got to believe that God exists. He hears, he knows, he cares. That's what, when we shared this morning, that's what was called a prophetic, a speaking this morning, reminding us that God sees and he knows, and he can, in my terminology, trust it. I know that wasn't used, but that's what I heard. Are you there? I heard the word, and so I'm going to attach my faith to it. Something in me reaches out and grabs a hold of that. Do you know that every time you say amen, you're saying, so be it, I got it, I'm with you. See, amen isn't just to encourage the preacher to go long. Okay? It's like, yeah. Oh, so be it. I want some of that. Come on. Right? I'm going to take you out to all you can eat wings. Amen. You get it now. See, right there, it's like, oh, yeah, I got that, man. Is that going to be on a slide? I didn't know we were doing that. Yeah. See, but you have got to believe it. Something in you got to grab a hold of that. So I heard, now I believe, and I say yes to that because it's the word of God, not the word of Pastor Rick or Pastor Ben or whoever else is preaching here. See, have you ever noticed, though, when you get a text from somebody, you read it with that person in your head. And if you and that person, like if they agitate you, you read that text with agitation. And if, but if you're good with that person, you read it so joyful. Am I right? Like, when Natalie and I, we're having a great day, she can text me, "Hey, where are you? What are you doing?" Oh, she cares. When we're having a not so good day, it's like, who does she think she is? What am I doing? Like, I don't work hard enough. See if I stop at Aldi on the way home. Am I right or wrong? Come on. Come on. You see, when we read the Bible, we read it with God in our mind. If he's mean and holding back from you and he's absent, you read everything as, where's God? But when you're close to him and you're with him on an everyday basis, it's like, Dad's calling. And every time Dad calls, that means he's paying for lunch. Who doesn't answer that call? Big difference, am I right? Amen. So be it. Yeah. Pastor Rick, can you be my spiritual father? Yeah, let's go to lunch. Yeah. Okay. Coming up next week. Next week, you got this stewardship workshop. You got the stewardship workshop coming up. I'm sorry. That was good. Thank you. Thank you. So next week from 6 to 8, how many of you like learning what the Word of God says? Okay. How many of you would like to see all the things you own in light of what God's word says? Okay, this is for you. Well, I've been in church so long, I don't have a problem with stewardship. Okay, then I want you to learn how you can communicate with others better. Or maybe we just need to go to a fresh look at the word of God. You are gonna get so much word. Natalie and I did this workshop ourselves. We went to it, and it is so, so good. Pastor Keith's gonna do an outstanding job with the word of God, helping you believe the word of God. That's the point. We need to believe the word of God, am I right? We need to be grounded in the word of God, because in your finances, winds, floods, and rains are gonna happen, okay? It happens. And you're gonna need to know what the word of God says so you can base your life on that, not on your feelings about your money. So I'm inviting you. There's not a person in this room right now that shouldn't be there. Because it's Word of God based. We need to understand what the Word says, not what my feelings say. And then we base our life, and we're going to be wise, building our lives on the rock of Jesus. Are you with me? So that's why I want to invite you there. Okay. That was my really good commercial. You were supposed to say amen. I was waiting. You know, if you have to ask for an amen, forget it. Okay, come on. Okay, the last one. You hear, you believe, you obey. Obedience is simple. You got to put it into practice. You know, most of us in this room, why we don't experience more of God? Because we simply don't obey. Because faith is a trust relationship. How will I know God will come through unless I give him an opportunity to come through? And that's how I build trust. Natalie and I have 36 years of trust. And so even in times where maybe our communication's off, we still trust that the other person has our best in mind. And when we trust that God has our best in mind, we hear differently, we do differently. So we got to put it into practice. Your faith experience with God is just one step away from obedience. You good? In times of uncertainty, focus on what's clear. This principle has helped me all through my life. In times of uncertainty, focus on what is clear. Focus on what's clear. What do I know about God's word? What do I know about my God? That's what I'm going to do. Are you good? Okay, I'm going to give you just a couple more things here because you're so great and you're so hungry for God's word, and you're not going home until you get more. Thank you. I'm going to give him some jelly beans. I got some Starburst jelly beans right there. Come on. Yeah. Okay, complaining. Whenever we're complaining and grumbling, we're telling God, I deserve better and you can't be trusted. Complaining is really saying, God, I deserve better and you can't be trusted. That's what complaining is. Complaining is practical atheism. You're practicing atheism. Every time we grumble and complain, like, God isn't enough. God isn't big enough to handle your situation. I could tell you just stories of our lives over the last couple weeks. It's like, there's plenty of room to grumble and complain, but why? Why give the devil all that room? We're just giving the devil room in our life. Every time we complain, it's like, hey, devil, you put a big sign on your back, kick me hard. And we wonder why the devil keeps kicking. Because we're grumbling, we're complaining. We're saying, God, you're not good enough. You can't be trusted. Why don't we start speaking different? We speak positive. We speak the word of God. We quote the word of God over our lives every single day. And I'm going to get more into this in the next couple weeks here. The three biggest obstacles to faith: complaining, control, and comparison. I already hit a couple of them, but when we complain, they're the three biggest obstacles that we have with faith. I complain, and then I want to be in control, and I compare. They crush faith every single time. They crush faith in our lives. You see, what I'm trying to show you is we say we want faith, but then we practice these things. I want control. I already used it. They don't deserve forgiveness. Hey, alert, none of us deserve forgiveness. When you say none of us deserve forgiveness, it's like, oh, okay, what I'm telling God is I didn't deserve it either, but thank you. So, well, how about I extend what I've really got? It's comparisons. I'm comparison this, and God, I deserve more, and I want more, and I deserve this. No, I just want to please him at the end of the day, and I just want to love him. Come on, I just want to love him. I want to know him. I want to experience him. See, Natalie and I, just when we grew up in discipleship, it was just you heard God, you believed God, you obeyed God. You heard God, you believed God, you obeyed God. You heard God, you believed God, you obeyed God. That's faith. So our whole life growing up in this church in Christ was just like, hey, we heard stuff. It's like, oh, okay, we're going to do it. That's the joy of the older generation. We don't have to get all cerebral and intellectual and all this other stuff and all these options out there. Look, his word says it. Let's believe it. Let's do it. Because I believe God can do all things, even with my giving, even with my time, and even with you serving. And you're going to get an opportunity to be introduced to faith in just a couple minutes. You're going to get an opportunity to serve. And it's going to take a step of faith to serve. Because if you're doing it on your own, according to your personality, then it doesn't please God. We already covered that. It's impossible to please God without faith. How many of y'all would like to please God? Okay. The word of God says that he places everybody in the body as he sees fit. So it takes faith to say, I'm not going to be in control. God's going to be in control, and I'm going to serve. Put me in. I'm ready to go. And so just a moment, Pastor Ben's going to come up here, and he's going to give you an incredible opportunity. And since it's March 1st, we're going to march first. I thought that was good. I waited all day to say that. That was really good. And we're going to march. Some of you will get that later. Come on. And we're going to march in the back here, and you're going to have an opportunity to serve. Why wouldn't we invite you to serve? Well, I'm new here. Okay. Let's serve. I'm old here. Okay. No, I'm serious. Everybody, there's a gift in every single person. All we want to do is get that gift to be used. So it's going to take a step of faith to do that. So when Pastor Ben at the end here, he's going to say, okay, follow me. And we're all going to be on our feet, and we're going to follow him. We're going to march right out here. We're going to come right over here. We're going to open this door. We're going to go back here. We're going to keep walking. Okay, I'm going to stop there, okay? But we're going to do that. Hey, stand to your feet with me just for a moment here as I close up. Everyday faith. Everyday faith. How many of y'all would like to grow in faith today? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for growth in faith. Help us, Lord God, grow to be more like you, to please you. Father, there's a great, great group of people here right now, and they want to grow in their faith. They need the word of God. They need to hear, believe, and obey. So help us, Lord God, with our obedience. But most of all, God, help us with our Monday through Saturday faith. Help us learn what it means to trust you each and every day of our life, Lord God. I thank you, God, for this people. Now, just in this heart, right now, I want to read you a scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What this is saying, that we get saved, that's a strong word, saved from hell, but also saved from ourselves, where God becomes the forgiver of our past and the leader to our future. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time, when you said, Jesus, I want you to cover my past by faith, through faith, and I want you to lead me into my future, I want to offer you March 1st as your day. If I were to give you a check for $100,000, and I said, here's free $100,000, you would have to endorse that check, you have to sign it, and you would have to get it into the bank. There would be actually something you received. Now, you wouldn't go to the bank and say, look what I earned, look what I did, look how much I got. You wouldn't do that. You'd say, look what somebody did for me. That's called salvation. It's what God did for us. It's not what I did for God. It's what God did for us. And so as you accept it and you sign it and you put it into your account, that's receiving it. And that's how much God gives to us, each and every one of us. So if you don't have a day and you don't have a moment or you don't have a time where you did that, you received the grace of God and through faith, I want to offer you today for the very first time in your life. You can say, God, I want to be a follower of yours through faith. And if that's you right now, right here in this moment, you heard, you believed, and now you need to obey. If that's you for the very first time, just slip up your hand right now. I'm just going to recognize that. If anybody in the house today that says, you know what, that's me today, thank you very much. Anybody else in the house today? Anybody else here today? Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord God. We thank you so much for the gift of faith. By grace through faith, Lord God, I release, Lord God, the people in this room to live a life of obedience and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, could you be seated? We have a whole bunch more for you right here. We have a great opportunity to give to a really, really cool ministry. And so let's take a look at this together and let's see.